This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you, and good morning to you all. I think that was an excellent introduction to what I want to talk about this morning. And it really is focusing around what we in the department are describing as the toolkit that we are providing to help local people, which very much means local enterprise partnerships, but not exclusively local enterprise partnerships, but providing local people with a toolkit through which they can take forward the promotion of growth and the promotion of regeneration in their areas. I'm going to speak for about 15 minutes. The agenda is set out there. A little bit of context, a little bit about the position of LEPs within that context, and then our toolkit for LEPs. And Andrew's already mentioned enterprise zones, but I'll run through the regional growth funds, some of the changes that we're making in planning that will provide sort of new mechanisms for local areas to take forward their own growth, aspects of the localism bill, local government resource review, some general stuff about cross-government investment, and then just pulling it all together. So let me start with the context. And the government very much came in with its absolute top priority being to restore the health of the national economy. And the very first step that it took was decisive action on the national debt. And we saw that in the comprehensive spending review. And with the benefit of a certain amount of hindsight, you can very much see sort of that intense focus in the first sort of 6 to 9 months of the government's life on sorting out the fiscal position. But with that sort of bedded down, with spending totals in place, they have been able to turn their minds to other things. And the other half of that very first objective there, sort of creating the conditions that help business and support growth. Growth is still not at the levels I'm sure that the government would like it to be. And we've seen a huge amount over the second 6 months of the government's life around steps that sort of can be taken, are being taken, to sort of really get the economy back onto that growth trajectory that the government, I'm sure the rest of the country is keen to see. Now, in our area of growth and regeneration, it's inevitable that we couldn't afford to continue to afford the sort of approaches that were previously taken. You know, the approach under the previous government, when fiscal conditions were much easier, was substantial sort of amounts of money coming through the HCA, through the Working Neighbourhoods Funds, through the RDAs. That is simply no longer affordable. But ministers are saying one other thing, and that is that even if it were affordable, they're not sure they would have done it like that. And the reason for that is because it didn't give enough sort of power, enough control, enough influence to local people. And when I stand up on podiums like this, I describe sort of one of the areas that I've got responsibility for within my team is the delivering a great legacy, a great long-term legacy coming out of the London Olympic Games. So that means focusing on five boroughs in East London. But actually, the conditions in those five boroughs are vastly different. I mean, just take one of those boroughs, Waltham Forest. Top end of Waltham Forest, Conservative MP, I think it's actually Ian Duncan Smith. Bottom end of Waltham Forest, hard up against the Olympic Park, sort of one of the most deprived areas of the country. Under the previous administration, I was sitting in my office in Victoria, directing how things should happen across the whole of those five boroughs. And yet I'd freely admit I didn't understand enough about the differences just within those boroughs. So if you then expand that across the country, an approach that was nationally led with national targets, so on and so forth, was always going to miss out on those important sort of local differences, those important local conditions, which actually people like yourselves are sort of best place to understand. So we are developing a new role for government that is ultimately about putting local people in control. So reforming and critically decentralising public services. I'll say a bit more about that shortly. removing barriers that sort of hinder local ambitions. Again, another sort of aspect of this, where this is about putting you in control, giving you the right incentives to enable sort of yourselves and your partners to sort of take forward that growth. And again, come on to that, particularly in the context of the local government resource review, which is going forward at the moment. But then some continuing sort of targeted investment and reform. It's not that there's no money around. There is certainly less money, and that what money there is sort of and needs to be sort of better targeted than it has in the past. And all of that, sort of putting residents, local businesses, councils, civil society, absolutely in the driving seat of sort of taking things forward. And of course, absolutely critical to that are the local local enterprise partnerships. One of the nice things about my job is that, as I've been giving presentations like this over the last several months, I've constantly had to ask the team to update that map, as we've got more and more and more of the country sort of covered by LEPs. And as you can see at the bottom, 94% of all businesses, 94% of all employees, and 94% of the population of England now covered by LEPs. That is not to say that our objective is 100% coverage. Our objective is the coverage that local people want. So some of those areas of white space, if you can see the map, there's a little area of white space just to the southwest of London. I think that's a couple of boroughs in Surrey that are sort of quite happy not to have an LEP. The larger area down to the southwest, that's sort of Swindon and Wiltshire, they're still trying to sort of get an LEP set up. But it very much is a question of what local people want. And not just in terms of want, in terms of whether or not to have an LEP, but want in terms of the way that they want them to work. We've been very unprescriptive, ministers have been very unprescriptive about how LEPs should be established and their role. The only thing that we've said is that they must be sort of business-led, their boards must be at least sort of 50% private sector, and we've described in very general terms their role in sort of taking the leadership for economic development and economic growth in their areas. The other thing that we have said is that we want them to be based around functional economic areas, the areas where economies really work. And the crucial difference between those and the RDAs is that we are no longer sort of setting boundaries sort of based on sort of some fairly arbitrary statistical boundaries that started life in Eurostat, that no longer sort of put boundaries across sort of functional economic areas such as the Sheffield City region, which has always looked to sort of Derbyshire to operate, and yet had sort of the East Midlands boundary going across the boundary between East Midlands and Yorkshire and the Humber sort of going across the middle of it, and also recognising that some places look in two directions, and hence the sort of the cross hatchings, sort of places that are in two sort of LEPs, again something that Eurostat would never have allowed, and as a result of which sort of the RDAs sort of were never able to overcome. But we're now providing circumstances in which sort of local areas, local functional economic areas, can drive their own development. But if you're going to do that, we realise that you need a toolkit, and as I say, that's what we've been putting together sort of within the department, working very closely with our colleagues across government, particularly in the Department for Business. Again, Andrew's already mentioned that sort of perhaps the most visible part of that toolkit are the enterprise zones. 11 of those, at least 11 LEPs that are going to get an enterprise zone already announced. 4 sites already announced here in Manchester around the airport. I'm wondering whether, if I'm standing in Manchester, I'd dare describe Liverpool as being just down the road, but we're all waters in Liverpool, sort of either side of the Mersey, Boots Campus in Nottingham, and then the Royal Docks in London. The remaining 7 of that first wave are still talking to us about where they're going to sort of place those LEPs, and then alongside that, we have a competition running. that is going to allocate the next 10 sort of LEPs. We're expecting those next 10 to go to sort of one of the to the sort of, you know, to be distributed amongst the 22, 23 LEPs that haven't yet got a enterprise zone. But we have said that we haven't ruled out some LEPs getting a second enterprise zone where the case is very compelling. And, you know, places like London, a huge area covered by one enterprise zone, you'll not be surprised to hear that they are sort of very strongly arguing for a second enterprise zone. The Kent, Essex, East Sussex LEP, which certainly in land area is bigger than the size of Belgium, they're pushing very hard for a second LEP, second enterprise zone as well. But the key test is these enterprise zones need to be sort of driving economic development. They need to be sort of have a unique proposition. We don't want sort of some of the wasteful competition between enterprise zones that we got in the 1980s. And as the slide here says, the sorts of things that we were providing in these enterprise zones to help LEPs drive economic development in their areas are 100% business rate discounts, sort of subsidised for the first 5 years by DCLG and the Treasury. Local development orders will help you sort of write those, and the sort of super fast broadband rollout. So, you know, as Andrew was hinting, you know, perhaps the most visible sort of manifestation of the LEP toolkit, but by no means the only one, and not necessarily the most important. Enterprise zones are only 150 hectares in, as I say, you know, some LEPs that are very large indeed. So, running sort of quickly through some of the other aspects of the toolkit, the Regional Growth Fund, £1.4 billion to be distributed and spent over the next 3 years. £450 million of that sort of allocated already, sort of the next billion or so sort of in competition at the moment. But, you know, a very powerful sort of driver. And I talked about target investment. Well, there's, you know, people say there's no money. Well, you know, there's a very large sort of sum of money available sort of to really good propositions that really are about growing and driving the economy. Planning reform, making the planning system much more responsive to the needs of economic growth. You know, we've talked about sort of LDOs already. You know, removing the national target on brownfield land. You'll have heard our Secretary of State sort of talk over the last few days about a presumption in favour of sustainable development, making it easier to sort of change use classes, but really making that planning system much more flexible, much more sort of friendly to sort of those of you who are driving sort of business growth. The localism bill, again, another decentralising measure designed to give you sort of greater role. And right at the top there, the general power of competence. Sort of local authority, local government aficionados will know that the present structure of the law puts local authorities in the position where, in effect, central government grants them rights to do things. Result of which, you get an awful lot of local government lawyers constantly crawling over the legislation to check whether or not, you know, the latest sort of great idea that a local councillor or a senior official has come up with, whether it is legal for them to do it. Well, within the localism bill, we are turning that round. The presumption is that you will be allowed to do it, unless it's specifically disallowed by the law. So they're making it much easier for local authorities to take forward things that are in the best interests of their areas. And then right down the bottom, and moving very quickly through this, a new settlement for London, giving London sort of now the power to sort of set up sort of urban development corporations. They were previously the preserve of central government. And, you know, I sponsor two sort of urban development corporations, the London Thames Gateway Development Corporation, the Thurrock Development Corporation, a development corporation for one local authority area controlled from my desk in Whitehall. you know, I stand here today and I sort of just think about the absurdity of that, putting those powers, giving those powers to the mayor. And I should say, in Thurrock, as an aside, Thurrock Development Corporation is being transferred to the to local authority. The London Thames Gateway Development Corporation will be part of the Olympic Mayoral Development Corporation. The local government resource review. I talked about sort of providing greater incentives to sort of LEPs, local authorities, to take forward growth. The key aspect of the local government resource review is allowing local authorities to retain their business rates. So if you encourage business, just out there or in your area, sort of the extra business rate income that will generate will stay with you. You now have an incentive to sort of and some payback for sort of putting the effort in sort of to growing business, and a commitment also that the government will introduce tax increment financing in the bill that will be necessary to implement the local government resource review, allowing sort of local authorities to borrow against business rate income to provide things such as the infrastructure that you need to promote growth. And as it says at the bottom, all of this to be completed by July in terms of a set of proposals, and then primary legislation, which the earliest that can be introduced is next in the next parliamentary session next April, something April 2012, sort of a year to get that through the House and then implemented. So sort of well into 2013 before any of that can be implemented, but nevertheless a clear intent to give sort of local areas sort of the incentives, but also the wherewithal to take this forward sort of themselves. And really to reinforce the message about continuing government investment. Sort of investment in growth and regeneration is not something that can only take place sort of within a programme that is described as being for growth and regeneration. There's an awful lot of other things that we are providing. The government is investing £750 million in High Speed 2, which will bring a very fast train service up to this part of the country. You can exploit that. If there's a station sort of on High Speed 2 that is being built in your area, exploit that as a sort of a real sort of improvement in links into your area, as a real way of promoting growth. £7.5 billion for Crossrail, which actually in those circumstances is putting a station in the Royal Docks, is putting a station in sort of a very deprived area of southeast London. Fantastic opportunities for local authorities and the mayor to sort of exploit that development. £2 billion in the Decent Homes programme, again, another vehicle for sort of driving growth. So there's money still there. There's money still being invested. Sort of your challenge is to exploit that. And all of this coming together in a toolkit. That's a screenshot from our website. We've sort of put all of these on our website. If you're not sure how to sort of drive that growth, if you're not sure what tools are available, then sort of have a look on our website. And that website is being updated sort of all the time. Added enterprise zones around about the time of the government. The budget will add sort of local the outcome of the local government resource review will go on there sort of as that comes forward. So where does that get us to? Well, it gets us to really putting you in the driving seat. LEPs have been an extremely successful policy to date. I think it's fair to say that we've got much greater and more comprehensive coverage across the country than perhaps I expected. Sort of certainly in terms of the pace at which it's been put together, that shows a real confidence and a real willingness to sort of take the lead from local areas. We've attempted to sort of give you a toolkit. We've attempted to give you the sort of flexibilities. It's still work in progress. We'll continue to work on that. We'll continue to listen to what you're telling us about what you need to sort of make that work in those areas. But the key message I'll leave you with, and is the one right at the sort of the bottom of that presentation, you are absolutely the heart of these decisions, and I very much hope that you'll sort of take up the challenge. Thank you very much indeed.